Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Ryan Recker, Overnight America, and time for...
Tell me something good.
Oh, please. You got something good you'd like to share? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Something positive, uplifting. I mean, it would be nice. I feel like I spend so much time looking at negative things. We try to at least set aside time of focusing on the positives. And I know that you have some stories out there, maybe some uplifting things. How about we do this one first? You can find this one on KMOX.com. St. Louis Youth Sports Outreach, a nonprofit community-based organization over in Overland, try to make sure no child in the area will be unable to participate in youth sports due to lack of equipment. It's a great idea. Some sports are very expensive to get into. Some are not as expensive. Like soccer, you know, you got shin pads, soccer ball, and you're pretty much good to go. Well, uniforms, I guess, if you're on a team or socks or whatever it is. Then you have something on the polar opposite, which is hockey. Think of all the equipment you have to put on, the skates, the pads, the jerseys, the, you know, whatever you wear, the helmets, the gloves, all these things. Plus, then you have to pay for ice time. So it's very difficult for some people to get into sports. And there's also great organizations that teach sports to youth during the summer, like golf. I love the different nonprofits that teach golf to kids. So we had a celebrity come in town and give a big donation, a surprise gift. Mike Rowe was here from Dirty Jobs. How cool is that? The owner of St. Louis Sports Outreach, Billy Mayhall, said some families are literally being priced out of their kids' sports due to increasing team fees and rising prices for baseball, gloves, soccer balls, footballs, and golf clubs. So he and his volunteers spend 2 days per week giving out used equipment to kids and families who can't afford it. And that grabbed the attention of Mike Rowe in his show Returning the Favor. He heard about it. He came over and he said, all right, we want to help. So Rowe surprised Mayhall at his store in St. Louis and asked him to attend a Cardinals baseball game, but that wasn't the surprise. Not only were the Cardinals pitchers Adam Wainwright and Blues forward Vladimir Tarasenko at the game, they gave him a check of $10,000, but awaiting outside Busch Stadium was a truck with $30,000 worth of athletic equipment ready to be used for young athletes in the St. Louis area as a little plus, little bonus. How cool is that? So the surprise gift, so cool, so cool. Well worth bringing that up, and I love hearing things like that in the community. What about you? Got anything good you'd like to share? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I saw this story posted on a colleague's Facebook page. It was a story of a journalist who met up with a woman here in St. Louis, a former teacher, now retired. She was part of the Parkway School District, who had a song written about her. This is kind of a really cool story. I'm going to try to share this without giving the name of the song. And if you haven't heard this story before, this will be a surprise to you. Very popular, famous song. So her name is Jill Grulich. That name doesn't sound familiar. You may know of an incident that happened to her that had spurred a song, a very popular song released in 1980. So it goes back to 1965. Jill, a freshman over in Illinois at the time, met a classmate who ended up being a famous musician. They had similar classes, and they said there was an attraction there. He was absolutely playing music from the very beginning. While other couples were going to a show, they would go up to the Grandview Drive, which is a scenic drive where they just play music and talk. A little different than the usual high school relationship. It lasted on and off all through high school and into college. And Jill attended Western Illinois University, while the musician went to University of Illinois. Jill moved to Chicago, became a flight attendant. The musician went to Colorado pursuing his musical career. Flash forward about 10 years after college, 1975. Okay. Well, no, this is less than 10 years after. Jill was visiting her parents for the holidays. The musician was doing the same thing with his folks a few blocks away. And from there, they bumped into each other again. She said, I went out for eggnog, and he went out for whipped cream to make Irish coffees. And the song pretty much describes it. He came up, we hugged, and I did spill my purse. All of that was true. And then we went to try to find a bar. And of course, it was Christmas Eve, so nothing was open. So we did buy a six-pack. It's all true. At the time, she didn't think anything about it. She just thought, oh, catching up with a former boyfriend I haven't seen in years. That's pretty fun. Very nice memory. Until one day in 1980, she was working for the airlines in Chicago, and she heard a song driving into work. She said, wow, that sounds like my former boyfriend. That was her first thought. That really sounds like Dan. Then I began listening a little more closely and thought, oh, what? That is Dan. And that really happened. He wrote a song about that one encounter. Dan Fogelberg, in 1980, released this song that becomes very popular this time of year when you listen to the Christmas music. Same Old Lang Syne. Said when Jill and her husband moved to St. Louis in 1983, she continued to keep that song close to her vest. She didn't tell people this song was about her.
The snow was falling Christmas Eve. I stole behind her in the frozen foods, and I touched her on the sleeve. She didn't recognize the face at first, but then her eyes flew open wide. She went to hug me and she spilled her purse, and we laughed until we cried.
So when she moved to St. Louis, she continued to keep this a secret. You know, her husband knew or whatever. She worked in the Parkway School District, and there was a trivia night. Participants were asked to name the Parkway teacher who inspired the song. She said she was so nervous she couldn't attend that night. She had to leave. When they gave the answer, even one of her close friends said, that's not right. She said, nobody knew. She kept it that much of a secret. Nobody knew Dan Fogelberg wrote a song about her.
Embarrassment as the conversation dragged. Went to have ourselves a drink or two, but couldn't find an open bar. We bought a six-pack at the liquor store.
Apparently, she's in St. Louis. Dan Fogelberg's coming to perform at the Fox Theater. Her and her neighbors went to the concert, and her neighbor tried to get a note to Dan. And, you know, the bouncers and the security thought, oh, just another girl trying to get close to Dan. We know what you're trying to do. But the neighbor was pretty assertive, told some people, no, really, we need to get back there because this is the girl who's in the song. We need to see Dan. Somehow it worked. They went downstairs, him and the neighbors, and they said it was like slow motion. Dan was there. They just talked like the old days, just like they used to. They laughed. They had good conversation. The first thing he said was, I just have to tell you that I couldn't put green eyes in this song because it just didn't rhyme. The only thing untrue about the song was she said she had green eyes. Well, it doesn't say that she had green eyes. They changed it. How funny is that? You know, she says she doesn't keep many of the artifacts. She lost things over the years. She did get a message from Dan's mom, who's at one point said, best wishes for a wonderful year. Dan's cancer treatment is going well. We're all pretty hopeful, but unfortunately, he died of prostate cancer just 3 years later. But there is this song about her. She says she's more public about this song now. It's kind of neat. How'd you like a song written about you by a world-class musician like Dan Fogelberg or something like that? Really cool story. All right, if you have something good you'd like to share, maybe another musician wrote about you, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America, where you can listen to this anytime, anywhere you please, KMOX.com, or wherever you get your podcast. If you don't know what a podcast is, well, if you have a smartphone, yeah, one of those touchscreen phone dealios that they force you to get because they don't make flip phones anymore. Well, I guess they do, but no one gets them. You can just look on that phone. I'm sure there's a podcast app on there and search for Overnight America. And you can listen to this show right on your phone, which is pretty neat, or a computer from KMOX.com or radio.com if you want to go there too. Jerry calling in. Hey, Jerry, what's going on?
Good night. How are you?
Good. So what's new?
Well, I just wanted to call. I've been listening to you guys for a long time. I live down southwest part of the state, Murphy County, Missouri.
Okay.
And I was just talking about how good, you was talking about how good the guy was outside the stadium, and it just kind of dawned on me. I said, well, you know, we got some good people still left. I do toys for Tots in Ripley County, Missouri.
Okay.
And Mike, I started out 37 years ago, and we had some used stuff, and we redone for the kids and give it to them, you know. And thank God that I stayed with it. And this year here, we're going to be able to. Usually at church, we do 300 to 400 kids a year.
Wow, that's now. A lot. That's great.
Yeah, 300 or 400 kids, and thanks to all the people that come, like you was talking about, the stadium. These people come in. We do fundraisers all year long. And every year it's grown. I mean, it's got bigger, and people come on board. The church, everybody's come, and it's great. And I just wanted to pass that on.
Well, when you have started doing this in throughout the years, have you seen the need continue to grow, or has the need been about the same?
It's been up and down. Some years it's been more lean than others. We have a coat drive there also in the county, but the need for the people, it's been up and down. It levels off sometimes, Mike. In some of the years, it's been more lean, but you know, we don't turn any kid away. If they show up and get in line, this year it'll be on the 22nd now at the West Point Church, and Mike, if they show up, we don't question. We don't have no guideline as far as qualification, you know.
Well, what have you raised this year?
Right now, we have over $20,000.
Wow.
That we'll be spending for bicycles and toys.
Oh, that's wonderful. So wonderful, Jerry. That's great. You're going to help so many families with that. That's
well,
great.
Well, we work at it, and I appreciate you, and I've listened to you guys, and I've always wanted to call in, and I appreciate all the work that you guys do, and I listen. Like I said, I'm a firm believer in listening to you guys every night.
Yeah.
So,
all right,
anyway,
Jerry.
Thanks for taking my call, and like I said,
thank you, Jerry. Thank you for what you're doing. Bye. Well, that's awesome. Way to go, man! $20,000+ worth of toys and bikes and things to distribute to kids. You know, that's got to be a miserable feeling for a parent, knowing that you're doing everything you can to keep your head above water when you have mortgage payments and keep food on the table, and still at the end of the day, you're doing everything you can and you can't get that gift you want for your kid. And it's got to be difficult for those parents. Some of them have a hard time asking for help because, you know, they're making ends meet, but they don't have the things that they want for their kids. It's something you shouldn't be too ashamed about. And there are people out there that really want to help, and they don't judge. They just want to help. And they want to make sure that kid has something for Christmas under the tree so they can open something up, so they have something to play with. Or, you know, in the case of the bikes, what a wonderful thing that is too. The Toys for Tots, here with KMOX, you can go to KMOX.com and see the drive we're doing here in St. Louis and participate in that. It really goes a long way. It's amazing what a bike can do for a kid. Really does. Think about it. When you were a kid, what a bike meant to you. The freedom, the exercise, the ability to go outside instead of staying indoors, watching TV or sticking around on the computer all day or playing video games. They're out there doing something, interacting with other people and friends and kids. And just think all the interactions you had when you were a kid and how powerful that is. It means a lot. You know what also means a lot? The Kansas City couple that lost their dog, gone missing in St. Louis. The story also on KMOX.com. So a Kansas City couple asking for public's help to find their lost dog, Gomez. They put a $1,000 reward on the table, and it all happened when they were out of town and someone was watching their pup and the thing darted out. Now, how far would you go to rescue or find a lost dog? What's the extreme lengths you would go? Now, obviously, you're going to go out, you're going to call the shelters, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. I mean, would you go as far as what this family was willing to do, which was they're out on a cruise line. They were going to hire and pay to have them lifted by helicopter back to the mainland so they can drive back. Well, I'm going to let Kevin Kleen tell this story in a whole nother story, but what's the farthest you would go to try to find a lost dog? Would you go that far? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120.
The dog's owners, a Kansas City couple, were on a Thanksgiving week cruise away at sea, and they'd left their little black dog, Gomez, with a friend in Kansas City, but he took a side trip to St. Louis. He went to a Blues hockey game with his family on November 24th, and when his younger sister got home first, she let the dog out to go potty, and he bolted.
So we get a call to our stateroom on a Sunday morning from an offshore location, and pretty much worst case scenario, all of our nightmares come true have happened, and he has escaped and is running loose in a city that's completely foreign to him.
Some dog owners might continue their cruise and just hope for the best, but Quentin and Ellie Seppi explained they have no children and Gomez is their baby.
If it would have been within my power, you know, I would have had us airlifted off the ship in the middle of the ocean right there, but they don't let you do that unless you're dying.
2 days later, they made port, and the wife flew out heading to St. Louis. The husband stayed with the ship for two more days.
The most important part was Ellie being there, and it was $700 to fly her one way from St. Martin to St. Louis, and it was going to be $145 to fly me from San Juan. So
this whole thing must be very expensive. I mean, the cruise that you had to cancel. So what's the running tab?
Oh, I have not even been keeping count. My credit card is on fire.
The husband soon joined the search in St. Louis, even arranging for tracking dogs, which have failed to find the little dog. There have been some possible sightings, though.
Sighted near Parkway Northeast Middle School, just south of the neighborhood where he went missing. There were also some potential sightings of him in Maplewood and near Monsanto.
Last question. You always hear about those dogs that walk home. Could he be walking back to Kansas City while you're looking for him here?
You know, we have not counted out any possibilities. If he is and he makes it back, you know, we'll welcome him with open arms.
With a whole nother story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
Totally understand that story. You know, when we had no kids, wife and I just married, I actually adopted my dog before we got married, and he was like, you know, my best little buddy, man. We'd do all kinds of things together. We'd have all fun. And I was thinking, what would happen if someone came up to me and tried to take the dog away from me? He was an abused dog. He came from a terrible background. And I thought, I'm going to do everything that's in my power to make sure nothing ever happens to this dog again. And I'm going to take care of this dog. And I did. You know, I never was confronted in that way. A lot of weirdos would come up and ask me about my dog because, well, you know, he's a pit bull and he's scary looking. And sometimes shady looking people would come up asking you about it. And you think to yourself, I wonder why they're asking me that. Well, you run by those scenarios. You think about that. Like, what if someone confronted me, tried to steal the dog? And I thought, no, I'm going to fight for this dog. I'm going to not just hand it over. Well, flash forward 8 years later, since I've had the dog for 8 years now, coming up on 8 years in January. And I think to myself, you know what? Things are different now that I have a kid. I wouldn't put myself in bodily harm and risk something terrible happening to me because how mad would my wife be or devastated my wife and kid be if I get myself hurt or killed by someone trying to abduct my animal? And I couldn't do that to them. They're more important to me than the dog, okay? My way of thinking changed when I became a parent. And it was one of those things I didn't realize or understand until that parent thing came around. And I think a lot of people are just like me in that sense. I love my dog still, and I'll do anything for my dog, but I won't do that. But Meatloaf sang a song about it. But what's the length you would go in order to not only protect your dog, but let's say your dog went missing. would you request an airlift to get out wherever you are so you can immediately start searching? You know, I actually helped find a dog, a friend of ours. They split up. They were a couple. They split up. They were sharing, quote unquote, custody of this dog. She went down to visit family members down in Dayton. Like, this is back when I was in Ohio. And the dog bolted right out the door. Those things happen, right? Gone. They were devastated. I actually went down with my wife, and we went on a search party to try to search for the dog. We spent hours and hours and hours. It took us an hour to drive to even close to where the dog was last spotted. Searched for hours, didn't find anything, came back up because, you know, I can't spend all night looking for the dog, and I just wanted to try to help. I felt pretty confident I'd be able to hunt this down, like Dog the Bounty Hunter, pun intended. So, unfortunately, the next day, we get the call saying that someone saw the dog dead on the side of the road. They identified it with the collar and called the owner and said, hey, sorry, got hit by a car. Looks like you can come get him if you want. Real sad, you know, and I felt real guilty. I wasn't able to do more. But I wondered, what would I do if my dog was lost? How far would I go? Would I go Liam Neeson, as in, you know, that movie Taken? You know, I will find you and do everything I can to get my dog back. What would you do? 314-436-7900 if you have a story there. Also coming up, 2019 food trends. Lisa Moskow is going to be joining us. What are those things that are going to be popular next year? Well, we'll talk about that too. Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. It is 1:34 in the morning, and thanks to everyone that listens to this show on the podcast. Man, I can't tell you how much that means. You know, tomorrow morning, we're going to cover the George H.W. Bush Memorial. It starts here at 10 a.m., and you're going to catch it all on KMOX. If you're at work and you're by a computer instead of a TV, or maybe you just want to get other things done and you want to listen wherever you are, you can stream it on the radio.com app. You can listen at KMOX.com on your computer. Just really great ways for you to follow along. Again, our coverage starts at 10 a.m. for the memorial service. You're not going to want to miss some of the events and the anchored coverage that we'll have here. And I know that a lot of people want to watch that. It's a very visual thing to see all the people. But we know that you still want to stay up to date and keep up with what's going on. Again, KMOX.com. Or right here on 1120 AM. And joining us now is the culinary director at SRG, Liz Moskow. Thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
My pleasure.
So the Sterling Rice Group, tell us what you do there.
Sure, I'm the culinary director at Sterling Rice Group. And basically, I lend my insights and my background into a lot of our CPG clients and figure out what the future of food is and how they should innovate in their product sets and come up with different flavors and products.
So the trends that you see, this is what I normally notice in the trends. Sometimes there's an article written, you won't believe this new flavor of fill-in-the-blank food that comes off the shelf at a grocery store, like an Oreo or a Dorito or something. Or you go to a fast food place, they're always experimenting with certain things. I'm guessing that's not the type of food trends you look into.
Those typically are more food fads, but they do come from food trends.
Yeah.
They all have some sort of sociological meaning and come from somewhere. And so we do try to explain why that happens. But typically the food trends that we call out have a little bit more depth to them and stay a little bit longer in sort of the innovation cycle, rather than sort of fade into the oblivion of the unicorn latte.
The unicorn latte, I forgot about that. All right, so what can we look forward to in 2019, you think?
Sure. So a lot of the trends this year are really being driven by the consumer's need to optimize their human experience in almost every capacity. And so if you look at some of the trends that we've called out, we look at things that are really making consumers feel like they're making not only better choices, but multifaceted choices. For example, they're not just looking to get a smoothie or a energy bar or some sort of snack that tastes good. They want to have some sort of functional benefit to it. And the functional benefit of the year that we're calling out as a trend is these nootropics or this neuronutrition, like not only gives their belly some fill and some enjoyment in their taste buds, but also feeds their brain and makes them think more clearly, have better memory function, and just better cognitive function altogether.
So how does butter play into this? Because one of the things I was reading, butter is the new bacon, and that grabbed my attention immediately.
Sure. So butter is the new bacon. It's sort of coming into the spotlight by the ketogenic diet and people's drive to eat more fat as a larger part of their nutritional makeup for the day. And so butter, if you think about in the 90s, the Atkins diet, how the popularity of bacon sort of rose out of the popularity of the Atkins diet, Butter is really rising out of the popularity of the keto diet. So fuller fat dairy, fuller fat yogurt, and then specifically butter is this clean label natural ingredient. We're seeing it in places that are a little bit unusual, where people are calling out butter as the ingredient of the moment in donuts, like a brown butter donut. We're also seeing it in some high-end resorts where they're offering an entire compound-flavored butter bar that you could put on your anything from toast to your burger to your topping for a steak.
Yeah, I've seen people use butter on steak. They say it adds a lot of flavor. Of course, with St. Louis gooey butter cake. I've never actually made one, but I'm assuming there's a lot of butter in that thing. And butter coffee. I've seen people put coffee and or butter coffee together, too.
That too. And again, that's a ketogenic diet trick to kind of keep people satiated throughout the day, eating less total calories. And also it lubricates the brain. So again, playing back to that other trend of feeding your mind and the neuronutrition, it also, MCT oil that comes from coconut oil and grass-fed butter plays a cognitive function in your diet as well.
Do you keep butter on your counter or do you keep it in your fridge?
I am a strict keep it in my fridge kind of girl, mostly because I don't like clutter. It has nothing to do with the culinary functionality.
You go through so much butter, it's just so much softer to spread on bread or anything when you have it on the counter. I haven't been able to find a way to keep it soft, I guess, in the fridge. Liz Moskow, culinary director at SRG, the Sterling Rice Group. One of the things you mentioned, too, is how artificial intelligence and technology has been playing a part in helping people decide what to eat.
Sure, not only decide what to eat, but to tell restaurants what to put on the menu and to even tell purveyors what to be stocking on shelves. So it's really interesting, this data aggregation and the amount of data, big data that's available from everything in technology to food. And it's really interesting to see how something like an artificial intelligence that sort of replaces what I do for a living, which is calling out trends, and how that's rising in the world of technology. There's one company in particular that's been really interesting to watch, came out of the TechStars program in Minneapolis, that's really ideating on how to implement ways to find different unusual flavor pairings. And they're taking that out of feeding interesting menus and flavor combinations from all over the world into a supercomputer, coming out with strange yet interesting flavor combinations that make sense in unusual ways.
Do you guys actually
watch?
Do you do taste testing at the Sterling Rice Group, or do you primarily do research?
We do a little of everything at Sterling Rice Group. Mostly, we do a lot of food prototyping, where we'll ideate around different flavor ingredients, different products. What's the next product and different incarnations of products. So while we don't do hard commercialization that our clients take to market specifically, we do a lot of the food ideation work, which we call protocepting.
Right. You know, plant-based revolution, you talked too about rooted and ravishing. So is there right now a lot of people that are eating lots of vegetables?
There is a big move to plant-based dieting, and that's mostly that comes from the millennials' desire to save the planet and its beings. And so not just because it's better for you, people want to eat less meat because it's better for the planet. And so that shift really drives consumers to experiment with a lot of different styles of vegetables, whether it's grains or root vegetables or ways that you could turn a mock meat into a main dish. And this year, we think that rather than calling out what the next kale is, we decided to talk about how root vegetables not only fulfill a role for people to be more satiated when they're eating a plant-based diet, but they're just delicious in general. The parsnip, we're seeing fried yuca on tons of menus coming out, and people using things like even the white potato as a base for a bowl rather than quinoa, which is becoming a little bit old hat at this point.
Yeah. You know, we look also, too, at the just in general, I look at it as more lowbrow trends. Do you even pay attention to what some of the fast food restaurants are out there? I know you said those are more like short-term fads, but do those ever influence long-term trends?
Typically, it moves in the other direction, where those limited-time offers and those exciting, sensationalistic menu offers that are designed to drive people into the store on more frequent occasions come from the greater trends. Mm-hmm. So last year, in 2018, SRG and my team called out a trend called the objectification of food. And that was all about the visual appeal of food rather than or in conjunction with the flavor of food to drive foodie photos. And so a lot of these LTOs are designed to get people to talk about it and to share on social media. And that's really what's driving that trend. Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't necessarily talk about it, for example, you know, there's a chip company out there called Pocky that has one chip called the Reaper that they sell in a container.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
One chip, and it's called the One Chip Challenge. It's so spicy. And that's really designed, not so much because it's delicious, right? It's designed to get people talking about it and to share on social media. And so that's where that comes from.
You know, people want to learn more about some of these trends or some of the things that you're doing. Where can they find you guys at SRG?
Sure, we're online at srg.com, and we're based in Boulder, Colorado, but we have legs and roots all over the world.
Wonderful. Sterling Rice Group. It's fun to read about the trends in food. It's fun to talk about it. I'm an eater. I'm not necessarily one that goes out and is on the front edge of the trends, but I do enjoy trying some of the new things that are out there. I'm assuming there's a lot of people like myself out there, too. Liz Moskow, thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Thank you so much for having me.
Anytime. Joining us on the Quiver River Electric Guest Line. Pretty enjoyable there. You can also catch that on the podcast. Who Judith texted in and said, I don't have the internet. Wow, Judith, don't have the internet. That's okay, I guess. Well, you get to listen to the radio program at night. I appreciate that. That's more important, really, to listen on 1120 AM. But we have this, what I think, very popular and great option for the people that, you know, not necessarily up all the time. You might have friends that are up and working during the day that don't get a chance to stay up until, you know, 1:45 in the morning here in St. Louis, because we are still live here on Overnight America KMOX. Can't believe Christmas is so close. We are, what, 20 days away now since it's December 5th to less than 3 weeks away. Less than 3 weeks away. You have all your gifts set up. I love the two-day shipping options. You can get Amazon Prime and get anything to the house in a couple of days. Now, that does not mean everything you want is going to be in stock. Sometimes it takes longer to get in stock, and that could be troubling, so it doesn't matter for that sense if you have 2 days or not. Make sure you just get it early. I'm looking forward to purchasing gifts with my kid. My kid is now old enough to make his own decisions on what he wants to give people for Christmas, so I'm letting him fully decide what we get my wife, and I'm sure he's going to have some fun with that, and I'm sure my wife will love it until she wants to ask for the gift receipt. So, CBS News and tomorrow, KMOX will be remembering George H.W. Bush. Coverage starts at 10 a.m. So starting there, you'll get part of the Capitol departure, the arrival at the Washington National Cathedral, and you'll also hear words from eulogies, including George W. Bush is expected to give one there at that time. The Bush family will then depart to the cathedral to Joint Base Andrews. They'll fly back to Houston, where from there there'll be more coverage later at night when it comes to the casket arriving, the participating at the arrival ceremony, going to the church. All of these things will be covered on KMOX right here, 1120 AM or KMOX.com. If you want to listen on a computer at work or in your car when you're driving in, you can do it there too. I did this earlier, but I wanted to mention this again, just how silly this is. How often do you eat French fries? As in, you go to a fast food restaurant, do you always get fries? Always? Yes? No? I'm a no-fry guy. I don't do it. whenever I order, I just do dollar menu. I order a couple of burgers on the dollar menu. I'm not fancy. I don't have to get something expensive. I don't have to spend a lot of money. I just do what I like and just slam a couple burgers down. Now, everyone's different. Some people, when they go, they have to always get the fry. Well, the doctors are coming out and saying that, well, if you're going to eat any type of vegetable, potatoes are on the bottom of the list. There's not a lot you get from a potato. Deep fry it and put it in the fryer, do all these things to it. Yeah, that makes it even worse when you get all that oil on it. So the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition noted that potatoes have a high index of obesity, increased risk of obesity, diabetes, cardiovascular disease. They mentioned the statistic that on average, Americans eat 115 pounds of white potatoes a year, two-thirds of which are in the form of French fries. 115 pounds of French fries. First thing I thought was, no way. There is, how often do you have to eat fast food to put down 115 pounds a year? They say if you indulge, do it better. And one of the things the experts brought up, and just how ridiculous this is, they said, if anything, you should portion how many French fries you eat, which is ideally you'll eat six French fries. Six. So you're supposed to split the French fries in half, put it on your tongue, close your eyes, and savor the flavor, and only do that. Well, I guess if you have six French fries, you split it in half, you do that 12 times. That's what you're supposed to do. They say some appetizers of coated fries with cheese and chili makes things even worse. They mention that if you get a large fry at McDonald's, it's 510 calories, which is nearly as many calories as a Big Mac itself. I didn't realize that a large fry is 500 calories. Whoa. So think about it next time you get one of those bad boys. They say home-baked fries are better. Home fries are good. Sweet potato fries are better. They say that steak or shoestring fries are a toss-up because both have a greater surface. They soak up a lot of oil. I like going to Chick-fil-A myself and getting those waffle fries. So they recommend consumers track how they feel after eating fries. They say this is what you should do. If you're not satisfied, if you eat them and you feel like, ugh, afterwards, then that's your sign. Don't eat the fries. I like that they're trying to tell us that it's rational for us to eat six fries. I don't think so. There's normally six fries in the bottom of the bag, and that's the fries my wife normally allows me to eat. She doesn't allow me to touch the fries that she orders. Nope, I'm not. She goes, nope, order your own. When she was growing up, her mom would do that to her all the time. Oh, I'll just take some of the kids' fries. And the kids are like, ugh. Mom, stop eating our fries. Well, now that she's an adult and she's like that, where it's, I'm not allowing anyone to touch my fries. I'm adult. I can do it myself. And you know what? You can get your own. So she'll hand over the empty bag. And if there's fries in the bottom, I'm allowed to eat it. Like, you know, I'm a sewer rat getting anything that's flushed down to me. Here's another thing that's come out. PETA and some other organizations. And there's an associate professor. It didn't seem like a really strong case, but they're saying that we're being too degrading to animals by using some harmful phrases in our common everyday use in conversations. So this is what they decided to do. They said, many of us grow up hearing common phrases that perpetuate violence towards animals. So here's some of those terrible, terrible, terrible phrases, and here's what you can do to try to stop it. For example, if you say, kill two birds with one stone, you are a hateful, terrible person that's condoning throwing rocks at birds. What kind of lousy person would do that? Instead, just say, feed two birds with one scone. I would love to be in the same room with someone that's trying to convince me this is what I should say, because it would be my duty to laugh at them and say, I am never going to say that outside of the context of how dumb this sounds. Here's some more of those, what they call harmful phrases. Let the cat out of the bag. They say instead, spill the beans. Take the bull by the horns. They say, hey, that's harmful. Instead, you should say, take the flower by the thorns. This sounds like bad dad jokes. It sounds like when I'm trying to give my kid a hard time, like, did you say this? And it's something that's similar to what the kid said, but it's not exactly what the kid said. That's the thing that would harass him, and it would drive him to insanity. The big one that everyone's grabbing onto is the bacon one. which is bring home the bacon. They say it's harmful. Instead, you should bring home the bagels. No thanks. No thanks. Next hour, homeless problem here in St. Louis. I'm going to play some clips from Elliot Davis earlier. Man, this is sad. It's Overnight America, Camel X.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.